Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on? You're listening to the Film Drunk Frotcast, coming at you not live from a series of frot locations. I'm Vince Mancini. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Mama's gonna get you to kill myself. What's up, everyone?
I was waiting for like the Lum twist that you usually put on those songs.
And... I'm going dark this week.
Do you have postpartum depression?
That's the thing. Men can have postpartum depression. No one ever talks about that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're breaking the silence here today.
I'm breaking the silence. Men have postpartum depression. Here's the thing. Pregnancy is really hard for men because we got to sit there not fucking and waiting for the fuck train to come rolling through town, and the tunnel is jammed. All right?
Uh-huh.
Does this make sense?
Yeah. I mean,
So what's happening when the train tunnel is jammed? You've got all these little guys stuck at the train station.
Oh, you mean your tunnel? I thought you were talking about the other tunnel. I was like, I feel like it's not jammed anymore. But
no, her tunnel was jammed, but now her tunnel is closed for repairs. Okay. And so you've got all these angry little guys the train station is at capacity and it's going to blow. And
they're all raring to go. They could smell that mucus plug. And they were like,
they
the
could
coyotes.
Smell the mucus plug. They know it's
a different doctor that suggests the best way to heal it.
The best way to heal
sexual
it.
Sexual healing.
Well, yeah. When you get that feeling, which is the feeling specifically rippage of the vagina.
Well, that's what you say to her. You say, look, you need something in there to keep the wound from closing.
Yeah, that that'll help.
Sure. Yeah. Like an expander, like for your, when you have gauges for your
Yeah,
ears.
Like an expander. Yeah.
Anyways, do you remember when the terrorists blew up the London Underground?
Yeah.
That's what my balls feel like all that time. Like, every time I masturbate, which isn't often because I'm very busy these days, it's like Islamic terrorism in my balls.
Yeah, that time goes away. Well, you know what? You guys both, Joe Sinclitico's here. We forgot to introduce him. He's got a pregnant wife. Matt just had a baby.
Are you wearing a Woody Allen shirt? I'm sorry.
Well, in honor of the Fablemans.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is that Woody Allen? It looks like him.
It is Woody Allen. This shirt was in my closet and I just was like, I'll never get to wear a Woody Allen shirt except on the Film Drunk podcast.
Sure. Yeah, I'm glad you said that for us. Thank you.
It has to be retired. Yeah. So I thought, I got to bring it out if it's podcast anymore.
But I'm sorry, Vince, what's going on with you?
But it is a cool shirt.
It is. I do like it. It has the whites of his eyes.
The glasses.
Oh, the glasses shine.
The glasses have a little.
It'd be also cool if that little shiny like thing was also just a little bit of drool. Because you assume he's looking at a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's innocent.
I was just saying that you guys have.
Why does my mouth water every time I'm near a Build-A-Bear?
God.
That's his famous line.
Oh yeah, he says that a lot.
Why is my mouth water?
I was just gonna say that you guys have so much to look forward to. Like when your child hurts themselves while your wife is gone. That's what happened to me this morning.
Oh, no.
I mean, well, because so first of all, my son has been home from daycare all week because he got hand, foot, and mouth disease from the daycare where they get like a rash on their bottoms and hands and faces. So he's been home all week, which makes it super easy to do work. I don't know if you know that about.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Toddlers, yeah. So then, you know, we're like trading off, and my wife had to go.
All right.
Thank you. Had to go to like an office visit, so she's gone. I'm taking care of the baby, and he like just slips and takes a header on the kitchen floor and like splits his lip open, and that's the best time for your child to injure themselves and get blood on your shirt is when the wife is gone. I don't know if other parents have told you that, but
she's stoked. She's stoked on you too, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
Cool, I left for 20 minutes and the baby's fucked up.
No, I'm super capable. We just have a little bit of blood on both of our shirts. It's fine.
See, I would have watched the evidence. I would, you know.
You can't.
Yeah.
Come on, man. He's got a fat lip. Everybody's going to see that.
No, you just say like, oh yeah, that's part, I guess that's part of the hand, foot, and mouth disease thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes their lips split open. It's weird.
Sometimes it gives them a black eye. No, but like, also your kitchen, having been to your kitchen, you've got the
stupid floor, dude. I'm telling you.
It's got the stupidest floor in the world. It's just like a bunch of pebbles glued together type thing.
Someone thought that was a good idea that our kitchen should look like the side of a hotel pool. Like, I guess it just makes you feel like you're on vacation. So it looks like the kind of, it looks like the kind of flooring that people normally have around pools, but someone decided to put it in my kitchen.
And it makes it impossible to clean. And if a glass, if glass breaks, it's there forever.
Yeah. No, I dropped an egg on it the other day, and like I went to clean it, and then I had like a couple yolk streaks on the kitchen towel because like the rest of the egg just went somewhere else.
It's just inside. It's like it's the strangest design ever.
Just goes
where
away.
It's like, what if you had topsoil in your kitchen? It's like we need something absorbent.
We need drainage. We need some drainage underneath the linoleum.
It's so strange because all I can think is there's just going to be a whole ecosystem under it. That. Ugh.
Yeah, there's but people living below.
Is that a Stairmaster?
Yeah, it's a Stairmaster.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm mastering the art of climbing stairs.
Climbing the stairs.
Are you a stairmaster?
Dude, I do it. It's great. I mean, I wasn't the driving force behind buying it, but I'm happy it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it looks cool.
Yeah. I feel like so much has gone on since we last podcasted. Like it's been, I don't know, 7 years in Kanye West time. And I just wanted to play my favorite clip of all time.
Please.
I don't think Hitler was a good guy. I get the Hugo Boss uniforms, amazing. But I mean, just because you're in love with the design, you're a designer. Can we just kind of say like you like the uniforms, but that's about it.
There's a lot of things that I love about Hitler. A lot of things.
Why does he like emphasize that part? Hitler.
It's like he's coming as he's thinking
he's like
about the things he loves.
And he's talking about Hitler.
He wants you to know that there's not just one thing to love about Hitler. Like I think that's a key point in this.
No,
like,
there's
why don't people get it?
Just the look on Alex Jones's face. I mean, first of all, it's Alex Jones. He's chosen to have Kanye West on his show.
He also loves Hitler.
Yeah,
yeah, he does.
Yeah,
he does.
Right,
but he's setting this up in a way to
talk about that.
He's trying to give him so many outs. He's like, look, I know you're a designer. Which, first of all, I don't know that that's like the first thing that I know about Kanye West. Like, it's in there somewhere. He's like, you know, like everybody associates the Nazis with Hugo Boss and you're a designer. Like he's doing some fucking gymnastics.
There's a lot of gymnastics there. That's like a fucking at the end of, that's like saying to any comedian, oh, I know that you're primarily a designer because they sell a t-shirt with one of their jokes at the end of every show.
That says like I'm with bitch on it or something.
says
I'm that's why
bitch.
You like yeah that's
if
why
you like
Hitler.
My I'm with bitch joke. I've got t-shirts at the end of the show that you can buy.
I still have a shirt that's probably 20 years old that says I'm with cock blocker on it and an arrow because some comedian gave it to me for free after a show we did together.
It's I love those shirts because you it's always just like they're designed around a singular joke that is usually like your closer. Like I had how come shirts for a while that I was like selling afterwards, and then it was just like there's something like extra sad about like, well, if I don't sell enough shirts at the end of the show, then I lose money from doing the art that I chose to do.
And it's from like writing my joke called on a t-shirt.
Right, like you can't make money from the actual art. You have to make money from selling shitty fucking t-shirts about your art.
Right, exactly. And it's like, oh, so that's a different business. That's like, like, if you like my comedy, I have a food truck that operates Monday through Friday.
Quit describing Joe's life.
It's like if you're a painter and you're like, oh... I don't make money from. I don't ever sell the paintings, but I have fucking keychains that have paintings.
I have keychains with the designs on them. It's more like if you know, I have a. You're a painter, and you're like, if you really like my paintings, I'll suck your dick for $5.
Dude,
so Alex Jones is
Alex Jones. Sorry. Yeah,
he's doing
my
all this
thing
work.
About that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's almost like Alex Jones wants to like he should have taken Kanye like before and just been like, look, dude, like so we all love Hitler. Okay, obviously.
Yeah.
But
just,
we don't
just to
like
get this out of the way. But, I like Hitler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We all but it's you, just you like Hitler.
We all love Hitler. We just don't talk. It's like you get them to love Hitler without saying, hey, you should love Hitler. That's kind of what we're doing, you know?
You know how, Kanye, you know how when blacks say something that's bad, really be that's good? That's what we mean when we say we hate Hitler. So what we're saying is we love Hitler. So do that. Right. Do like the way you blacks, you know, when the blacks say, something is crazy, they mean it's good, insane. You know, when they say something black, they mean it's white. You know, when they say it's up, then it means gotta get up to get down, right? So, when you say you love Hitler, it sounds like to us that you're saying you hate Hitler. So reverse that, okay? And then
you gotta flip it on
a good time. I love Hitler.
I do. So
you like Hugo Boss is what he's saying, and then Kanye's like, "Let me do everything I possibly can to shit all over this point."
It's so funny. It's like there is, you know, obviously there are people out there who are like, this is like a psyop, trying to make conservatives look bad, which, right. No, it's not, but I get why they would think that.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's mask off. It's hilarious.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it literally got Elon Musk to like censor.
He did a free speech ban.
His whole fake thing was like he's gonna bring like free speech back to Twitter, which is, you know, obviously bullshit. But like,
but he straight up says, "I am a free speech absolutist." Yeah. Which, like, what that means is that free speech is any kind of speech, hate speech, all speech, free speech. That's the whole concept of free speech absolutism. And then he was just like, well, I can't. All right. Well, we can't do this.
He says he took it down because it was a swastika, but like it wasn't even real. Like people keep saying it was a swastika. It was more like Kanye's attempt at the heartogram that Bam Margera used to have, where it was a swastika, but also a Star of David to, you know.
It was Kanye's version of the coexist sticker that has all the religions.
Yeah, but one of them's a swastika.
Yeah, he's trying to bring the Nazis together.
Like the X is a swastika.
Honestly, it's like so insane that it'd be brilliant if you didn't know Kanye wasn't deeply, deeply troubled and 100% serious. Like
he is getting to like 1 out of 1,000 annoying people on Twitter who are like, you keep calling him crazy, but what he's saying is actually kind of true. And you're like,
of course.
Okay, yeah, him and every college freshman that have recognized the complexity at the heart of man But he's also like he's also like talking with his bottle of Yoo-Hoo and like a lacrosse net a fucking puppet. So I think you have to take into account like all the things that are happening beyond just the words that he's saying.
That to me was the funniest thing. When he pulls out the net and a bottle of Yahoo, he brought props to Alex Jones to do a net and Yahoo joke.
Right.
Which then he starts doing the voice. And he's like, "Hi, I'm Netanyahu. I'm breaking up Kanye's family." And I'm like, yeah. "Oh, you don't know who Netanyahu is. You just think he is king of Jews." And it is like very clear because number one, if he knew who Netanyahu actually was, he would have known his voice is low,
right,
famously low voice. And so, like him.
Yeah, in
the
my head, he sounds
voice,
like Kissinger. I can't quite remember, but
yeah, I know he has a very low voice, and he almost has no accent. But then, occasionally, the accent comes out.
He's basically like I don't know. He's Chad Dracula. Mm-hmm. So like he's a Dracula who fucks, and I guess all Draculas fuck. Doesn't matter. Point is, he has a very famously low voice. And it's clear he just learned who Netanyahu was, and he was just like, for some reason, blaming Netanyahu for his plight. It's like, dude, you are very confused about Jews. Like, I knew already he had some insane thoughts about Jews because he kept saying insane things about Jews. But the fact that he was like him targeting Netanyahu makes so little sense that I'm not sure where he's coming from other than...
I know some people call him BB. I know some people call him Yahoo. But we're going to call him Netan. What you want, Netan? Hey, yay, right after this, I'm going to say you're crazy. I'm going to take your family away from you. We're not done with you yet. You cannot cause free thought. We have to control the history books. We have to control the banks. And we have to go and kill people. Also, we're in the pedophilia. Ha, ha, ha. So,
dude, imagine like being at the office at like Hugo Boss, and everybody's like, "Hey, there's like another funny Kanye video, guys! Like, come over here and check it out." And then it's just fucking him talking about Hugo Boss and fucking Uh-oh. Nazi. Oh hey, wow!
What's up, Sammy?
Sorry, weird.
Sammy. Hey, Sammy, what do you think about Jews?
Hugo Boss. What's up, dude?
Sammy, you like Jews?
He's trying to put his waffle on the microphone. Sorry.
Oh, is that what's going
on? Hey, dude.
Yeah. I am. Oh.
Yeah.
He's... Oh, boy.
Yeah, but Hugo Boss just like on the sidelines, just getting pulled in. Like,
yeah,
I had no
strays.
Idea that they built fucking Nazi uniforms. And then it's just like now all of a sudden that's out there in
oh that's
to everybody.
That's been out there, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you had you got to know that shit. You got to know what brands were Nazi associated brands. You got Hugo Boss, you got VW,
BMW.
BMW. Fucking there's other ones.
Adidas,
Nabisco,
New Adidas.
Airbnb.
yeah. Twitter,
Twitter, yeah,
Comcast, oh, but Geico.
The whole Netanyahu thing killed me because I was just like, "Motherfucker, you are working on some weird, like, deep level where you think like the prime minister of Israel is thinking about your family, trying to steal your family and control the banks." It was very funny, and yeah, no,
I like the idea that Alex Jones is going to bring him on. And you know, like somewhere it's like he's going down like the sliding scale of increasingly less influential reactionaries. And yeah. And they're all sort of thinking like, oh, this famous rapper is going to legitimize me somehow. Yes. And then the first thing he does, he shows up wearing a black sock over his head with zippers for the eyes. And his prop YouTube bottle that he's brought. Sorry, Yoo-Hoo bottle that he's brought to fucking do to say that Netanyahu controls all the banks.
I gotta say, the voice he's doing too is like, would be a good Elmo if he like,
yeah, no,
like applied himself.
It's like South Park Mickey Mouse that he's doing.
Yeah, it's funny because there already is an anti-Semitic Elmo in Times Square, and now he's like, oh shit, was that Kanye the whole time?
Also, do we think that like Hitler was sitting there with like different like mock-ups of uniforms, like not that one, this one, you know what I mean?
100%.
I think that was the main point of Nazism, and they and the Jew thing was just like a side gig that they. That they sort
the
of did
was
for clout.
That the only way that they could get the raw materials to make the fly ass uniforms was by, you know, paying Jews, and they were like, "Fuck that, we're gonna cut fucking," you know, these guys, they
dude,
control the
wild.
Fur industry. You
they
know?
Were that's just like, kind of like a repressed homoerotic frat that really, you know, they like 100%. Uniforms were their main thing, like from the beginning. Yeah.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Like literally, it was all aesthetics. Like fascism is just, it's about, that's why you see like all the modern like neo-fascists are like you know reject modernity.
No, they're angry,
you know,
the first thing they're angry
tradition, and it's always like, you know, by tradition they mean like strong,
a smart haircut, like literally,
a smart
haircut,
a smart
and like
haircut and a tie.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's why the first thing they're always mad about is like people. They go straight to like, oh, you know, someone with blue hair that's like woke. It's like
right,
they don't.
Yeah, they're,
like the big thing
obsessed.
About them is they don't like that they're sloppy. I think is a big
right.
issue.
Yeah, they have a big problem with ugly people, which is very funny because they are. Some of the ugliest people in the world, but they're like, yeah, but I've only been made ugly because of modernity and the Jews. The Jews! Yeah, it's a great time to be Jewish in America.
Yes, yes.
It's a lot
so.
Of fun.
Well, I'm learning more about Hitler than I ever thought. Kanye's having like a fucking impact on my level of Hitler knowledge now,
yeah,
because like, I didn't know any of this
dude,
fucking
he's,
shit.
He's raising awareness, man. Now you know.
And he really is.
The amount of like what did he say? He's like, everyone has something about them that's, you know, wonderful, especially Hitler. And like his whole thing was like Hitler invented highways and microphones. And I was like, Hitler did what now? I'm sorry. Huh? And microphones been around before Hitler, dog.
Right. Yeah. What was he making his speeches on?
Yeah. And highways?
Before this, I was just talking into a beer glass.
We had a beer glass, and then we had a string that went all the way across town, so that, and then a bigger beer glass, and then I would go, hi, I hate the Jews.
Hello, it's
but
me,
then
Adolf.
I said, what if we made this with wires? And then I did it.
Yeah.
I invented a lot of things. I invented peanut butter. What did I invent? I invented...
the post-it note?
The post-it, yeah, I was the first person who said, what if we put a little bit of glue there, yeah? And let's see, what else did I invent? All puppets.
Oh,
the
puppets.
First person to say, what if we made like a little guy, right?
So what if there was a tiny little man sitting on my lap?
Yeah, a tiny man sitting on my lap. I move his mouth and I make him say like, fuck you to me.
Sometimes he
like,
argues with me. That
he argues with me about things, and everybody laughs. Everyone has a great time. What else did I? Oh, I invented the bobblehead. I was the first person to say, like, what if, like, a miniature, but with, like, a head that's big and go, whoa, 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 whoa. That would be fun. I invented the Sibian.
Oh, the Sibian. Oh, wow.
Yes, I said...
That's the sex?
Women... Yes, I said women very much enjoy when their clitoris does vibrations, yeah? So I said, what if we made some sort of contraption where you sit on it like a saddle, and then on the Howard Stern show, oh, I invented Howard Stern, on the Howard Stern
wow.
show, women could sit on there and have an orgasm, and everyone laughs, but they also get horny. I invented the sun. I was the first person to say, it's too dark. Anyways.
Oh, he's leaving. What happened?
Oh, I just got tired. I have a new invention. It's called sleeping.
Okay.
Ever heard of it?
Are you going to do it forever now?
I would like to. Bye. Oh shit, he killed himself.
Oh darn. Oh darn, that's too bad.
Yeah, now Kanye went on like Gavin McInnes's show. And
people forget like all these people, I mean, they're basically platforming someone who's clearly in the midst of like a manic episode or some sort of clearly. Like mental breakdown. And like with Alex Jones, like that is kind of Alex Jones's claim to fame. The first time I was ever aware of Alex Jones was when Charlie Sheen did that fucking interview where he's talking about winning and being like a warlock and all that shit. And I was like, who is this fucking discount Rush Limbaugh who is just like sucking this guy off and playing into his every delusion when this guy's clearly on a ton of drugs right now?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Alex Jones and not just him, but like a lot of these grifters, they're always like desperate for an actual celebrity.
Yeah.
To, you know, to give them the real scoop on Hollywood. And
right. I mean,
whatnot.
And also like a celebrity in the midst of a breakdown. Like it's hard to do better ratings than that. Like do better ratings wise than that. Because it's like, of course, everyone's going to report on the celeb fucking smearing shit on the walls.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot
guess
of fun.
What? They have to play the clip from your show when they do it.
Yes. But the great thing about it. When it comes to like Kanye is that like his mental breakdown is totally, I mean for all of these fools, these like right-wing people, they're all in a contest to see who can be the one to like get through to him on an intellectual level.
Right. Yeah.
And he is just so like,
he just
so
shows up with his
there.
Underwear on his head. Fucking.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like a funny part about all these guys is that they're like, well, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not racist. And here's my thought process of why, like that Gavin clip. He's like blacks, they kill everybody. Right. But when I meet a black, I treat them like this is the first black I've ever met. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
he
right.
says some shit like that. Like that in his mind, that's yes. what he's been telling himself. I'm not racist because this is how I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and he said, do you
and
that,
he tells
do you,
Kanye.
Yeah, do you do that Kanye with Jewish goes, people?
Yeah. And he goes, no.
He goes, nope. Just straight up. And
so it's like they're trying to work their bullshit on him, and yeah. he's like, what are you guys talking about?
Confidently,
like Hitler.
Confidently, just yeah. like,
yeah.
no, I don't.
No, listen, a I lot don't. Of things. Tired of- a lot of things.
I don't Hitler. Like Jews, and I'm tired of pretending that we all do. It's like, it is very, very mask
yeah.
off. While wearing a mask,
yeah.
which is
yeah, that's the irony. See, he's still an
very
artist.
Very ironic
through it all.
He's a true artist.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
like, oh, how can I? I'm gonna like help him clarify what he's actually trying to say. And yeah. he's like, yeah. So what I'm trying to say is, I love Hitler.
So good, and I love it too because
can
like,
I make it clearer?
They don't have, you know, the right doesn't have like. I don't want to say like celebrities, like modern, like or like,
no, it's always a discount, like State Fair ass celebrities, like Kevin Sorbo and fucking
right,
the guy who played the and Dean Cain and like
yes, yeah,
Dean Cain and Rob and Lowe.
No, I think Rob Lowe's cool.
I think you mean Rob Schneider, maybe.
Oh yeah.
No, I thought Rob Lowe was like some fucking dude.
I think Rob Lowe is.
I don't remember. I don't.
Rob Lowe is
that.
Very.
I
like,
thought he was bland.
Most,
like I thought
he's bland and neutral.
He's the
like,
guy
he
who
goes,
shows up wearing a hat that says NFL on it to a football game,
to
which
the
is
Super
great.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But no. What was I going to say? Yeah. No. But like, finally, with Kanye, they're like, we finally, you know, we have a black, you know,
yeah.
and. And then
and a famous one, like a really famous one.
No, right. Like a very famous,
like the most famous
black
yeah.
guy. And they're and he's just like, I love Hitler. And they're like, no, our black.
Yeah. Our black.
It's so
no,
great.
Not our black.
Not our yeah. black. Jewish. All right.
All right. But yeah, I mean, that was fun. And look, we'll get to the Fablements at some point because I made you guys watch it.
Speaking of Jews. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Matt.
As you know, Vince, I love old internet memes. Remember the early internet's obsession with Chuck Norris jokes?
I do remember that.
Here's one. When Chuck Norris went to college, he told his father, "Now you're the man of the house."
Why do you bring this up?
Well, I was thinking about those old memes, and I started thinking, I wonder what Chuck Norris is doing right now. What has he been up to?
You know, I actually know the answer to that, Matt. Yeah, I recently saw a health video he made, and I was surprised. He's in his 80s, and he still seems to have energy and health.
You know, I saw the very same video, Vince, and in it, he says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition.
That's almost too powerful to contemplate, but yes. It's true. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has energy all day.
I am way younger than them, and I have energy for about 2 hours a day. And the problem is, you know, that many of us do not include fruits and vegetables and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. Chuck Norris made a special video that explains how he incorporated these things with one simple product.
I love special videos, and you can watch it too by going to mymorningkick.com/podyourself, and it may change your approach to your own health.
Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/podyourself, mymorningkick.com/podyourself. Go there now and watch this very special Chuck Norris video.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But
we gotta talk about Fablemans. But what?
But there was also the huge article about, I don't know if we ever talked about her, the Grey's Anatomy writer.
Please. I just found out about this last night.
Oh, really?
And
oh, yeah.
Yes, I had no idea. I had read some other, I knew about some other writer who pretended to be like a, like she stole valor in mm-hmm. order to get into a writer's room.
Probably, yeah, that was basically this. It was, yeah.
But
this
insane.
Was a different one. The other one stole valor by pretending to be in the military, and that was yes. fake. And this is a completely different writer who pretended to have cancer and parlayed it into a job writing for Grey's Anatomy. It's kind of funny because, like, I don't know, maybe 3 days ago, Brendan I was on a group chat with Brendan, and he was like, "Hey, did anyone ever call to yell at Ben's ex-girlfriend who pretended to have cancer?" Because, like, as longtime listeners of the Frotcast know, our founding co-host, Ben, he had dated this girl. He actually brought her to... He met her on the Frotcast. He was blooping in live from Bermuda, and it was right after he'd met her on a vacation.
Right.
And so he started dating her. He brought her to our like live Frotcast in Chicago a million years ago. It turned out that she had told him that she had a brain tumor and she was going through chemo and all this yeah. crazy shit. And it turned out that she was lying, like none of it was true.
And then,
funny for a girl to do, because a girl literally doesn't have to be interesting at all for you to like want to fuck her. First of all,
yeah, especially right? Like her. Like she was a cute blonde girl. Like she didn't have. She definitely yeah. did not need like.
Boom! You're already in.
Yeah.
I feel the same thing about like the black Hebrew Israelites. Like, why do you want to be Jewish where you're already black?
Yeah, you're already cool.
Like, yeah, you're already cool. You want to add Jew right. to it? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that's too much. There already are black Jews. You ask them if they enjoy it. All right,
yeah,
it's
know.
Hard.
Sammy Davis Jr. looked pretty happy.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, looks can be deceiving.
Yeah,
both communities up your ass at all times. Anyways, so then Ben actually got cancer and died.
Right. Uh huh. That's the button. And that's the sad button to that story.
The sad button to that story is was that. And no one called. Did anyone ever call to yell at?
I never called. I don't know like what her phone number was. Like I don't remember her name. I'm sure I could find it if I like looked hard enough. But yeah, no one did that. So anyway, that was like 3 days ago that Brendan reminded me of that. And then today there's a follow-up story.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. Was she still with him when
no.
he died?
No.
Okay. No.
It blew up once he found out that, you know, she was lying about cancer. At one point, like one of her ex, because they were doing it long distance, which was part of the deal. Like she lived in Boston, I think. And anyway, at one point, like one of her exes called Ben to like try to warn him, but it was like she told him that it was just like a jealous ex or something like that. And so he kind of dismissed it at first. And then
it was very Gone Girl. And yeah, she kind of looked like Gone Girl.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. And then the lies sort of started to pile up. At one point, like he asked to be put in touch with one of her doctors, and she somehow found someone to like pretend to be a doctor, to pretend to be her cancer doctor at some point. That's the craziest part of the story to me, is that she was able to find someone to help her.
The lengths that people go to like keep a lie going is very funny to me. It's like,
dude,
I find it fascinating. Any big liar, I'm always like, I kind of, no matter how like evil they are and how fucked up the lie is, like I still want to hear more about them.
Yeah.
I find them so fascinating.
Oh, for sure.
Because it just like, there's the amount of work that goes into like maintaining a lie. As I think most normal liars, you lie about something and then you slowly, you know, you start kind of like pretending that that lie never happened.
Yeah.
And then no one asks about it. But
yeah, you keep hoping. Yeah. You hope people start to forget about it. Right. As you know, at the same speed at which your like guilt from overlying dissipates. Yeah. For me, like the most interesting aspect is people that tell one big lie that is super successful and like does exactly what they want to happen. And then they keep just lying unnecessarily about completely unrelated things that end up in them getting caught. Like, why did you need to add those three other lies that got you nothing? Like,
yeah. There's like a compulsion to it where it's like, you know, there's people who are compulsive liars and they can't help it. And I find that to be totally fascinating.
So this Grey's Anatomy writer, sorry, Joe, you didn't have a question about...
No. I just had a story. I knew a girl and she was dating this dude and he would get drunk and he would fucking like flip out. I don't know if he ever like hit her, but he would like throw fucking fits and go crazy and shit when he was drunk. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? She's like, he has PTSD from being a scout sniper. And then she was like comforting this guy and dated him for like a year, like this whole time, like trying to help him through this PTSD. And then it turns out like he was never in the military. He was just like a crazy fucking alcoholic guy.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Dirty John.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's pretty cool. At least that lie, there's utility to it where you're like,
yeah, you can't get mad at me for being crazy. Yeah.
I'm a drunk who's like, who hits women. I need to have a sob story to excuse this, you know?
Dude, like, also there's guys, you know, too, where it's like, I wouldn't call them liars, but they're just full of shit. They're like successfully full of shit. Like everything is just kind of full of shit. They're just like full of shit. And they get a lot of success and you're like, I can't everybody tell this guy's full of shit, but they're not like, well, he's not lying. He's not like a liar. He doesn't lie about stuff. It's like, no, but they're just full of shit. They just.
Yeah. Some people are full of shit.
Everything's like, it's just like a little bit more than what's actually real, you know?
Exactly. I feel like Donald Trump is like someone who I would say is just full of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, Dave Chappelle actually had like a kind of a good take on that. And his SNL monologue where he's like, this is a lot of people's first experience with an honest liar, where he's like telling them, yes, I know the system is rigged because I helped rig it. And then, there's a certain and charm that comes with that kind of brazenness, like people almost respect it in a weird way.
But it's like it's I don't know if it's like a pathological thing as much, or if it is pathological, it's almost like, I don't know, but it serves like this very particular purpose. Whereas like, to me, the interesting people are the ones who are like, I have been on the moon. And you're just like, oh, for real? I thought only astronauts were on the moon. And they're like, I know. My dad was an astronaut. There was this program that very few people knew about.
Take your kids.
And you could take your kids to the moon. So I went to the moon. I walked on the moon. And like, those people are interesting to me because I'm like, there was no purpose to this.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Right,
like you lied for no reason, and the amount of
There was one time,
it's like the intent is the difference between full of shit and a liar.
There was one time where like
there's a purpose.
We're at some house party, and I was with one of my college friends, and we're meeting these. We met these girls, and we're talking to them, and he was just like, "Oh yeah, we're from Utah," and they're like, "Oh really?" Blah blah blah, and they walked away, and I was like, why the fuck would you tell them that we're from Utah? That's like a weird thing to lie about. Why, like, you could have picked like a cool place or said like, I mean, nothing wrong with Utah, but like, it's a weird place to lie about being from. And he just goes, you got to lie to them so they know you don't respect them.
Oh man. That's
like, oh my God. Good. I don't know. That's like a fucking cool Russian nesting doll of pathos right there.
Yeah, a lot of pathos going on there. I don't even want to dig into it. That's right. With that, you're like, I don't want to know, man. I don't want to know why.
Yeah.
So this lady.
She.
What's her name?
Her name is something Spencer. Hold on, let me find it. It is.
It's like Hillary Pluff or some shit.
No, sorry. It
Hillary Bluff.
Elizabeth Finch, sorry.
That's it, Elizabeth Finch.
Elizabeth Finch. So, yeah, so she was like an aspiring writer. She had gotten a job on True Blood at some point, and then she'd always wanted to work for Grey's Anatomy, and she made up this kind of bone cancer.
Imagine wanting to...
Right. She positioned herself as like the survivor of this rare form of bone cancer,
right?
And so they like sort of got her. That's her, sort of helped get her on the show, and she would pitch storylines that were like, you know, based on her own cancer struggle.
Sure.
And she took it like super far, where she would, you know, she had like a fake chemo drain like in her chest, and
she would tape on a catheter from the article that I read.
Yeah,
she taped on like a drain catheter in her arm. And shaved her head, and oh man,
yeah. So
that's only the beginning. That's of only the lies,
like,
though.
Like again, all of that was successful. Like the lie that she had cancer was going fucking great. She was in a position.
They got her into Grey's Anatomy writing room. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking network TV drama writing room, still on the air today.
Like 20 seasons or some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Endless money. Like,
not only that, she was like
for life.
She apparently was like, was in a position of authority in the writer's room. So this is from the Ankler, which was the guy who discovered all this in the first place. And now she's doing her first interview, since it all came down. This is
with the Ankler again, which I love that, like, the guy who, or the person who like exposed this whole thing was like, hey, let's get the rest of the story. Yeah. How's it going for you?
So this is someone else describing how she was in the writer's room. Mm-hmm. She was quietly volcanic and would seethe with no sound, says another former colleague. Finch had her own chair in the writer's room that no one was allowed to sit in, even when she wasn't present. Further complicating matters was the cozy relationship between Vernoff, who I think is the showrunner, and Finch. It got to the point where Finch and Vernoff would do press junkets together. To the others, the message was clear. To cross Finch, risked crossing the boss. On at least two occasions, Finch was triggered in the writer's room when another writer pitched an idea that cut a little too close to her imagined self. In both instances, the writers were asked by management to apologize to her. Elizabeth made people uncomfortable. That was her special skill, says the writer.
Oh my God. Just a total scumbag.
Yeah. And eventually, there was a guy that kind of figured it out. Fred Einsman was growing concerned. The physician turned industry consultant had been hired as an executive producer on Grey's Anatomy in 2015. Einzman is part of a small cadre of real-life medical experts hired by medical shows to apply a level of verisimilitude to scripts that weave complex medical ideas into storylines. Einzman's concerns were twofold. He was both confused and skeptical of the stories that one writer in particular had been sharing about her own life. At the time, Finch had consolidated a fair amount of power within the writer's room and was comfortable throwing her weight around. She was now regularly sharing stories with her colleagues about her cancer and chemotherapy, but in Einzman's estimation, her demeanor and anecdotes didn't square with the reality of actual cancer treatment. He was also upset with the dynamics among some of the writers. He specifically didn't like the way Finch treated some of her colleagues. She would often bully other writers and regularly weaponized her cancer survivor status to silence critics. Einzman took his concerns to Vernoff and Human Resources. According to several sources, the concerns were ignored. So basically, it's, you know, like all this eventually came out. But to me, like the most interesting part of this is that she did all this. It worked out. She was in this position of authority, but she just like couldn't stop. Like she eventually would, she started writing like essays about, you know, being a cancer survivor and working on Grey's, like in, like, you know, for Elle and, the Hollywood Reporter and just had like random details, in there. Like she claimed that she was at the, she claimed that she was, at the Tree of Life synagogue shooting.
Why?
And that at one point she like, sorry, I got to find it.
She was in building two during 9/11. She was...
Yeah. After the 2018 terrorist attack on the Tree of Life synagogue, Finch claimed that she'd been a regular congregant there in college. She'd attended nearby Carnegie Mellon for undergraduate degree and that she'd lost a close friend in the shooting. She asked for time off from Grey's to fly to Pittsburgh to help make burial arrangements for her deceased friends. She told people the FBI allowed her into the site to help collect the remains, as required by Jewish tradition. The only true part was that, yes, while in college, she had attended a few services at the temple. She did not know any of the victims. Then came another doozy.
Like, that's the craziest thing. That's the craziest thing. You already are like, you actually did attend some services at Tree of Life. You have a connection to this synagogue. You don't need more than that.
Yeah.
Other than, like, what do you, like, you're flying out there going like, I knew these people. Like, you fucking psycho.
Yeah.
That's like, it's every single poster online who's just like, every single thing has to be about me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it reminds me of. Like, I am the main character of the universe.
And I have receipts for some reason. And also, yeah, it's like, yes, ending themselves. Like, no one's in there. No one's there. It's like, yeah, and I was there. And I had to go, and the FBI let me in to take care of the remains.
And I knew them. And I survived the Holocaust. And I got cancer at the Boston bombing. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Then came another doozy. In 2019, she told colleagues that her older brother, Eric, had committed suicide. I've been gone.
These things are too verifiable.
I've been gone because my brother died by suicide, she wrote in a note explaining an absence from the Grey's writer's room. He was on life support for a short while, but ultimately did not survive. I say this not because I need or want anything from anyone. I'm not a delicate flower or whatever. I just want people to know I'm still here, still part of the team, she wrote. In fact, her brother, Eric, is a doctor who currently works in Florida today.
Like, cool. Psycho. 2019.
Yeah.
2019. Google exists now. You know?
There was a time a Gulf War veteran had stalked her for months, slashing her tires and leaving a knife slammed in the front door of her apartment. Another time, she arrived at the office visibly upset. She'd been the victim of a road rage incident, she said, and after the male assailant caught up with her at a red light, he exposed his genitalia and masturbated in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
Finch would often take to
That's
Facebook...
That's a long light.
I didn't say finished.
Oh, he finished.
Finch would often...
If she had been allowed to talk more, she would have ended with, and then he finished, and then I got pregnant, and then I had an abortion.
Oh, there, all at the right there's time. An abortion just... in this story, too. There's also a fake abortion in this.
Wouldn't you just go through the red light at that point? I mean, assuming it wasn't that busy, you just take off. or backup or something.
I mean, if it's in LA, you never know.
I'd sit and watch. But yeah, I'm not like freaked out by it. And I always feel like that's something I have to remember anytime someone talks about men who expose themselves. Like for a lot of women, like that is like some scary ass, horrifying shit. For me, every time I see a guy jerking off in public, I'm like, look at this guy.
Yeah, look at him. You're like taking notes on his technique. Yeah, he really put a twist in there at the end. That's interesting. Yeah.
He's having fun.
I remember I was at a Union Station, and there was this dude. He's this tiny little Mexican dude, and he had his fucking dick out, and he got the biggest, reddest boner I've ever seen. And he's just standing by the urinals, but he's acting like he's peeing, but he's like 3 feet back from the urinal, and he's just jacking off. And he was looking at me, and I was peeing next to this like black dude, and I was trying to look at the black dude like, hey, do you see this fucking guy right here? And the black dude was just kind of like scared of me, right? Because I'm trying to acknowledge him.
Because you're looking at him while he's peeing.
Yeah, because I'm the one that's like looking next, and I'm standing next to him. But I just wanted to be like, no, dude, there's a dude jacking off. And then I finished peeing, and I just stared at it for a while, like, why is this guy's boner so red? But it was probably because he's been jacking off all day.
It's like when you're trying to honk at the person in front of the person in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, it's not for you. Tell him.
Right.
Tell him. No, not you. Him.
Yeah. Finch would often take to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to share some of these harrowing events, like the time an anti-Semitic flyer was slipped under her front door. I asked her about these three stories, and she claimed that all three actually happened.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. Why did she? I didn't know she was Jewish, and that like ruins it for me, because that annoys the shit out of me, because the number one fucking like anytime something anti-Semitic happens, like someone draws a swastika, everyone's like, it was probably the rabbi. And it's because assholes like this exist. It's like the Jussie Smollett thing,
yeah,
where you're just like, God damn it, Jussie. Do you know like how much... Yeah, how much you like ruin it for everyone else, right, who actually experiences that shit? Ugh, what an asshole.
Yeah, and when people do it, I'm sure they're like partially feeding on the fact that like, yeah, people might not believe you because this is too weird.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, and so wait, so she had an abortion?
Yeah, she lied about an abortion at one point. Hold on, I gotta find that part because it's whoo. Oh yeah, hold on. It wasn't enough to tell people that she had to make a wrenching decision to abort the fetus from an unplanned pregnancy or risk her own life by foregoing the life-saving treatment. She weaponized it, taping a political campaign video during the explosive confirmation hearings of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. It wasn't a decision I took lightly, said Finch, staring intently into the camera for now this, but it was the right choice for me, the only choice for me. If Kavanaugh were on the Supreme Court when I got pregnant, what choice would I have had?
Oh my God. Oh God.
Do you think that this woman would have had, like, I'm sure there's people that are this fucking crazy in every industry, but I feel like LA is uniquely set up to for them to actually succeed at it. Whereas everybody else would be like, hey, that person's fucking crazy. Like, get away from them.
I mean, yeah, like the whole thing.
Because, like, in LA, you're like trained not to ask and fucking question.
I mean, you're supposed to believe. Yeah, you're supposed to believe abuse survivors. That's like the whole thing. And
that's
like 99.9% of the time, it's probably true. But then you get this one asshole.
Right, that ruins it for everybody.
But that's kind of what makes them interesting too. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So, like, part of this, like, new article that kind of, like, update the interview with her, it goes, today she's an absolute pariah. The mere mention of her name in certain quarters of the industry causes visible revulsion. Her phone doesn't ring. Her emails go unanswered. Her wife left her. Family members disowned her, and she's no longer allowed to see the children she helped rear for several years. She fills her days taking long walks and talking to her therapist. And I'm thinking to myself, how many of those are lies?
Yeah, no, I know.
So she's a lesbian?
I guess. I don't know.
No, yes. Okay, dude, not only that. So she met this this abuse survivor some sort of like therapy context and like married her. And this woman had like five kids from an ex-husband who was like abusive and committed suicide. And she took parts of her story. Like she probably took the suicide thing and like invented it for her brother. So yeah, it was like a whole deal. To your point, Matt, like that was the big question the whole time I was reading it, was like, how much is she still lying about now? And like, what is the angle here? Cause for sure there's like an angle to doing this in the first place. And there's a little piece, a chunk of our final conversation was spent discussing an upcoming photo shoot that would take place at her house. She was worried about the logistics and weather. And on several occasions, she asked who the hair and makeup artist would be. After the shoot, she emailed to ask if she could have some of the extra photos that weren't used. She was particularly interested in shots showing her crying.
God.
She also wouldn't let the guy into her house for some reason. Yeah, it's like there's still a whole lot going on there.
Right. I love you're one still of the quotes, a crazy person. It didn't fix anything.
One of the quotes was, "What I did was wrong, not okay, fucked up, all the words." People who speak like with the soy dialogue, I'm like, you're all fucking
yeah.
It's like you're all fucking crazy. All the words. Well, you're a writer.
Oh, I'm just so exhausted from apologizing to everyone that you guys can fill in the blanks on this one.
Oh my God. Oh man. Finch is still adamant that her compulsive lying was solely a product of her real life trauma. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's
yeah, now her story is that it was a response to her older brother being abusive.
And, the one who he said killed himself?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
God.
And maybe he was, but when you already pretended that he had that he committed suicide and he didn't, it's a little harder to believe now.
Listen, my older brother was fucking abusive as shit, and I lie about very little things, mostly about movies I've seen or haven't seen.
Mm.
Sometimes I'll say I haven't seen a movie I've seen, or I'll say I've seen a movie I haven't seen.
Sometimes I won't remember that I've seen a movie.
Yeah.
That happens. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, what movie? And then I'll Google it and I'll find my own review. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess I did see that.
Yeah, I saw it. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, look, I gave it a solid B+. Interesting.
Oh, man.
Speaking of solid B+s.
Ooh, yeah.
We all saw The Fablemans.
Steven. Speaking of Jewish liars. I'm sorry, this is a very anti-Semitic, Semitism heavy episode.
No, this was about a Jewish truth teller, I think. This was Steven Spielberg finally telling us a little about himself.
Now, this is a question I have. How much of this is, does he call this autobiographical or does he say loosely based on life?
I think semi-autobiographical is the official term. I'm not sure.
I mean, but... Yeah, why wouldn't you, that was one of my biggest complaints was, why wouldn't you just make the lead character named Steven, and why wouldn't you just make it about your life? Why call it The Fablemans? Why call it Sammy? Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like...
Well, because if you don't fictionalize at all, you can't give him an amazing name like Fableman.
I felt like
I hated that.
Yeah, to me I was like, Fableman, I don't understand what, just you're, if this is about you, then just call it The Spielbergs. If it's like semi-autobiographical, I mean, I get it, but
The New York Times calls it both autobiographical and semi-autobiographical, so you know, take
that's
that for
good.
What you will.
I guess I didn't really have a problem with that when I saw 8 Mile, but
I feel like
Eight Mile had rap.
Really autobiographical.
No, yeah, no. This one is much more like directly autobiographical.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like the movies that they're showing him making as a kid are movies that he made as a kid. I remember seeing, I think I was like watching, I forget what it was, like the special edition, like the behind the scenes or whatever of like, what was it, Band of Brothers? And they were showing kind of like, or maybe it was... Saving Private Ryan, and they had clips of like some of his movies he made as a kid, and how he like did special effects as a kid, and you know, like made it look like bullets were coming out and all that stuff, and they used that stuff in the movie. So I was like, okay, so this is this is a biography in a sense, but they're not telling us what stuff isn't real. So yeah. I'm like, so did his mom leave his dad for his dad's best friend?
Is I believe that, that part was true, or at least that there was a,
yeah,
like
that
a
part
divorce,
is true.
Divorce involved.
Right.
No, that part is true. The mom fell in love with the, I remember that. That is a real thing.
So mom fell in love with Seth Rogen. That's did the mom really get a monkey? Like, these are the questions I have. Like, is the monkey feels like it has to be real, because why would you add that? Why would you add the monkey? It's not even a good like metaphor. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like too out there to be fake. Like, it's not poetic enough to be like, oh, we just added that for flair. Like,
I like the monkey. I mean, dude, that's production values.
No,
right,
I like
there.
It if it's real. I assume it's real that his mom got a monkey and named it after the man she loved because she missed him so. Like, that,
I assume.
Yeah,
that's true,
real.
I guess. Steven's mother, Leah Spielberg, really did bring home a monkey to be a family pet.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
So
I'm glad.
You correctly surmised that it was true.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I just want to make, you know, like there are things in it. This is my problem with like semi biographical or autobiographical things, is that I'm like, okay, but there are aspects to this that I know already it's a dramatization. When someone does a biopic or whatnot, I already know it's a dramatization. There are going to be some things that you add, you know, timelines change in order to make something more kind of like wrap it up in a nice bow and like whatnot. But like, if you're calling it the Fablemans, then I'm like, okay, some of this is going to be a fable.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't know what it is. So
yeah.
I still feel like I don't
the
know
title
who the fuck
is
Steven Spielberg is.
A liar.
Right.
He's calling himself a liar in the title. And you're like, ah, okay, well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. But yeah, so the movie is essentially about Steven Spielberg as a kid and the family he grew up in. And I liked it because I like Steven Spielberg movies. Like, I just,
yeah,
in general,
I liked it
them...
because I like Steven Spielberg movies and I like coming of age, semi autobiographical movies in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also a fan of like, it kind of like was able to skate by, or it avoided my usual, I think our usual critique of biopics, in that, yes, it was made by the guy who is the subject of the movie, but it's also not a movie about how he overcame so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more about like they really do hammer home that like he led a pretty like privileged life. Like,
right.
His life was like pretty happy. I mean, it's mostly just them being a family together, laughing and playing. And until the divorce happens, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, until the guy puts a bagel in his locker.
Right. Until he moves to like Palo Alto and everyone hates Jews there.
Santa Clara. Yeah, that was weird. I was like, wait, there were less Jews in Santa Clara than in Phoenix? Like, to me, I mean, I know Jews are a desert people, but like,
well, dude,
I just assumed.
First of all, I grew up around a ton of Jews in California, and I never heard anything anti-Semitic till I went to University of Arizona. Literally, I never heard anybody even say anything anti-Semitic. Mexican, black stuff for sure. But when I moved to University of Arizona, I remember I was with my roommate and his friend, and they were from Tucson. And his friend at one point said something, I can't remember what he was talking about, but he said gypsies and he goes, "This is like gypsies and Jews." And it made me laugh so hard because I was like, Jew, like, what do you have against like
gypsies?
I hadn't heard anything. And then I was also just like, gypsies? Like, there's not a gypsy or a Jew for 100 miles around here. Like, what the fuck are you even?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the same thing with me. It wasn't until college that I realized that there were people who actually like just said anti-Semitic stuff and had never met Jews.
Mm. Oh, that was
like,
me.
Right. I think it happens outside
that
of
was me.
Like,
I didn't
California,
I didn't know
there's...
Jews like existed really until I mean I knew like my dad knew one had one Jewish friend who was like the math teacher at the junior college where my dad taught at. Like that was the one Jewish family I knew growing up. And then, so I knew like they existed and, you know, I had met like a handful, but then when I got to college and there was like nine of us in a suite at college, I think five were Jewish or something like that. So, I guess that was like when I realized, oh, there's like a lot of Jews in the world.
See, I grew up where it was like, I was going to bar mitzvahs and shit and just like being like coming home to my parents being like, dude, Jacob got $5,000 at a full fucking party. There's I get fucking nothing. What I mean?
Tone like, Loke showed up to play Paul's fucking bar mitzvah.
Like, why do we not have this? What the fuck is going on?
Seriously,
why aren't we Jewish?
It was weird. Like, as soon as I met Jews, I was like, oh, these are like people that are more like me than the people that I did grow up with.
Right.
These people are much more like me and my family. Like these are like other people that like to complain and like are value like intellectualism above like, you know, the Protestant work ethic or whatever.
Yeah, the weird thing about like I had a different experience in terms of before I went to college, I was like, the whole world is either it's half Jewish, half Christian. That's that's everyone. Right. And then I went to college and I was like, oh, there's like Jews are like there are people who've never met Jews. And I was like, oh, that's wild to me. How do you even know about Jews then? Like, how did where did you hear about it? And it's like, well, TV and stuff. And so,
well, you hear about them when you go into the bank and you ask who owns it.
You go, who runs this bank? And they're like, you mean Shlomi? And it's just a guy with a full. And he goes, he's like counting the money, going, "Yai, they'll die, they'll die, they'll die, they'll die." And it's like, I knew it.
Yai, they'll die, they'll.
It's so fucking funny. Like everyone's the running of the bank thing. I always think is the funniest.
I mean, I think the best thing about this movie to me was sort of seeing like the opposite end of the spectrum of that. Where like to me, by far the best scene is that Steven Spielberg goes to Santa Clara and he meets like a hot. He like he weasels his way in by narking on the school jock who's cheating on his girlfriend, and then her friend has like. A Jew fetish because she's like horny for Jesus.
Yeah, and she really wants to fuck Christ, which is I think is
so
fantastic.
seeing like the derangedness of like Christians through the eyes of like a Jewish guy who's never experienced that before. By far, that was like the best part of the movie, and it was also the one of the first moments in any Spielberg movie where he sort of allows himself to be like a little weird. He's not doing a specific moral. He's not, you know, like he's sort of working through like his own idea of something and not really trying to like land a point necessarily. 100%. And 100%. And I really like that was my favorite, you know, moment of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And it is something that rang very true to me as like, it is a fun little like, it's a thing where sometimes you will meet a girl who is like, oh, so you're Jewish. And, and then you're like, yeah. And it's weird to be fetishized for that because
you're like, I think there's something racist about it, but damned if I'm not going to capitalize
on it.
Right,
but I'm going for it. Yeah. Like I loved that. That was my favorite thing with that storyline was that he did not give a shit that what she was doing was essentially, you know, being kind of bigoted and fetishizing this thing and being like, you're going to hell. That's hot.
You're just like an animal. The animals
you're just
don't
like
get
an
to go
animal,
to heaven either.
And I'm going to try to breathe Christ into you. Like he, like there was no part of it that I feel like in maybe a movie that wasn't biographical and a movie that was just about a young Jewish kid. Like there, that would have been like, a moral point that he would have made. Instead, he's like, marry me. And she's like, what? No. and she doesn't say what? No, because again, you know, she's not doing it because she's like, oh no, you're Jewish. We can't. She's saying like, we've been dating for a month. Yeah. Like
we were just trying to smash. I didn't care about
Right. Yeah. He's the weirdo. He's the weirdo. She is also weird, obviously, but I love that. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And, sometimes that it's very rare, but occasionally one out of every 300 Christian girls is like, Jews. let me taste that damned dick.
Joe, yeah, I know you were, right. I know you hated this movie. Like, you got mad at me for even making you watch it.
Well, so I turned it on with my wife, and my wife, she actually watches a ton of movies, right. But she will turn off a movie so fucking fast if it doesn't start strong. Mm-hmm. And this movie was so fucking boring for like the first 25 minutes. I kept watching it because you guys, I could feel that you guys had kind of dug it. So I kept watching it, and then I was like, oh, this is like now I'm enjoying it, you know? But dude, for the first 20 minutes, I go, why did they make this movie? This is like a nice family, and it's like a normal family, like, and they're just doing like happy family
shit.
I hated the first 20 minutes too, actually.
There are almost every Spielberg movie, and it like gets worse as he gets older, but there's always at least like two or three artistic decisions that are just completely fucking baffling to me. Like in this one, he hires this little kid with really blue, like sparkly blue eyes. Cause you know, Spielberg has sparkly blue eyes.
It's not like Jewish, really.
I get that Spielberg has like blue eyes, and he probably
Jews have blue eyes too.
Yeah. Usually I would, you know, like often.
No. Brown and blue. It's all mixed.
Often. Anyway. So he hires this kid with really sparkly blue eyes to play himself as a little kid. And then there's the
Bitch
time.
Is like, no, they don't.
No. The thing that bothered me was then there's a time jump, and then high school age Spielberg, the kid clearly has brown eyes or green eyes in real life. And they put these shitty fake contact lenses on him to give him blue eyes, and it's hard for me not to notice, because like the Spielberg face is like a close up of someone's like wide eyed look, like that is that's his signature shot, is like a close up of someone's face while they're like in awe. So he does that a bunch of times with this guy, and I'm constantly having to look at his shitty fake contact lenses that don't look anything like natural. And I'm like, could you not have just hired either a brown eyed little kid or blue-eyed
CG'd
older
a
kid
better.
Or just left them and said, who fucking cares? Instead, you're like forcing me to...
Because the kid's not ripping.
Yeah, like, I mean, they were fine, but like, you could have replaced one of them, or you could have reimagined yourself as someone with fucking brown eyes. Like, why would you do this?
I actually didn't notice that at all, but that's because I'm not racist.
I just notice bad contact lenses. It's like
eye color.
Yeah, I don't think about.
I'm colorblind.
Like,
I'm literally colorblind, but I notice
that's
bad.
True. Literally.
I notice bad contact lenses not because of the color, but because like the pupil looks like it looks fucked up. Like
it's
the
off.
Pupil is off and weirdly shaped. So
yeah. No, it's a good point.
One of my favorite parts about you, Vince, is that you are sensitive to the fact that you are colorblind, and I think that's funny because it's a funny disability.
It is.
Well, I just have to point it out in situations like this where it's like I'm not the guy that's gonna notice eye color because like I literally can't tell the difference a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I do notice when a pupil looks fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't notice that. I mean, my like big critique with like a lot of the choices made in this movie is number one, what are we doing with there are Jewish actors. I'm sorry, but
oh
like,
my god, he hired the two most goyish looking people on earth.
On earth,
like Paul
like,
Dano
his
is
parents
the
are
most
so Jewish. His parents are so Jewish.
Paul
like,
Dano is the most
very visibly
well,
Jewish
he,
people.
He hires the two most goyish people on earth, and then like the two obvious standout performances in this are fucking Judd Hirsch, who is obviously Jewish, and Seth Rogen, who is obviously Jewish. It's like, why did you fucking hire these fucking
it makes no
Gentiles.
Fucking sense to me. And not only that,
and it actually annoyed me that the sorry to interrupt, but that the mother was so not Jewish, but she was trying to be this Jewish lady, like Michelle Williams, who I think is great.
Yeah,
I was just like, she's just fucking annoying. I'm supposed to be endeared by her, but it's just
100%.
Annoying me
she was
that she's playing
me.
This character.
I completely agree. I was so annoyed with the character.
I was even more annoyed with Paul Dano because he's just like too young for that role. He's
honestly
he's like four
though,
or five
bro,
years,
what the fuck?
4 or 5 years younger than Michelle Williams, and he looks even younger than that because he like cannot grow facial hair. And it's like
right.
I like him as an actor, but holy shit, could you?
No, he shreds.
He's shreds. He's a fantastic actor. Although I will say in this movie, I think it's the first time I've been like, oh
no, yeah,
he can't yep. cry.
Well, oh, I didn't notice that. I just noticed that, like, wow, this is so, he's so miscast for this part that.
Oh, he's completely yeah. miscast. But there's a point at which he, like, is, like, crying. Mm-hmm. And he can't, he has, like, the opposite DiCaprio thing where, like, DiCaprio could only cry for, like, most of his career.
Yeah.
And then he, like, kind of learned how to do other things, like have an accent, but even then, not really. you get full pay me for four, damn. Sorry. And then but no, Paul Dano is like I think one of my favorite actors because I think he's just there's something about him that I find like exhilarating. There's uh-huh. just some he's
well,
got this weirdness.
He's doughily innocent.
Doughily innocent, but he's got this weirdness to him that I
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
Like he's got a depravity.
Yeah, depravity. It's like he's either the nicest guy you've ever met or like a secret child molester. He's got that
yes.
like kind of face where it's like off a little bit.
Right, it's a little off. He's it's weird. And but in this movie, he's supposed to be kind of like I don't know. He's
a
supposed
nice
to be a
guy.
Jewish character, and he just wasn't. It wasn't. It was not good.
Yeah.
And
a
Michelle
Jewish
Williams
engineer.
Killing me. Michelle Williams' character was like, oh, what are Jews? Theatrical. And I was like, fuck you.
I mean,
don't you do this.
For me, I've only ever tolerated Michelle Williams, so I wasn't expecting
okay,
what, like I've always found her she looks like someone who would cry if you farted near her, and that's always bugged me about her. And
well, that's just prejudice. I don't think that's real. You don't know her.
She looks like she looks like she would judge me for a fart, and I've never liked her. But you know, I've learned to tolerate her, so she doesn't bother me anymore.
It's a reason.
I met her when I was like, I think I was at college for a year, and I came back, and there was a high school party, and some dude that I went to high school with, and had gone to USC film school, was dating Michelle Williams. But I only knew her as the girl from Species. She was the little girl. She was the Natasha Henstridge
yeah.
as younger.
Which we all watched so and jacked like, off to as youth.
And she was like gorgeous, you know? And I was like.
The little girl, by the way, but Natasha
Henstridge.
How did
this guy get this? Yeah, I was like,
was it
well,
Heath
she
Ledger?
But she was beautiful when I met her, and she was in high school. Not high school. She was in college. I guess she would have been in college.
She was in Dawson's Creek.
Remember thinking, like, how the fuck did this dude, like, land this guy? But it was, like, USC, bro. But, yeah, she was, like, I think she had grown up in the same area as I did, but she had been homeschooled and, like, mm-hmm. always going to these auditions up in L.A. and shit.
That makes
Anyways,
sense.
That
she does
a
have
little the, history.
Yeah,
like,
no,
she
I like
has
that.
Homeschool
school
vibes.
Yeah, she does have a homeschool vibe. I think that's what I'm picking up on her.
But yeah, as Steven Spielberg's mother, I just listen. She eventually did a good job. I was a fan of her acting.
Yeah.
I think she's actually a really good actor.
I think they were fine, but again, it was just like, why would you cast those two people? They're completely wrong for it, and it only stands out even more when Judd Hirsch shows up for like one scene and just fucking crushes it. Like
crushes
you're like, holy shit, I want a whole movie with this guy.
See,
and that's another scene. Like when I see a Spielberg movie, I'm sort of expecting like he's very classical. Like he does like easy morality tales, like classic Hollywood. I mean, he is the guy who sort of invented Hollywood bullshit to some extent. And doesn't usually make movies about himself, partly for that reason. And, you know, a lot of this movie is about how he wanted to become a filmmaker and everyone supported him in it and he succeeded at it. But then in that scene, like Judd Hirsch kind of shows up and is like, yeah, you're going to have to choose between art and your family at some point and it's going to tear you apart. And like, I don't know, that was an interesting sentiment that I didn't necessarily expect to hear, from Spielberg, because like in order to be an artist you do have to be kind of a selfish prick, and
yes,
and it's not all fucking roses. And I like that he seemed like he was you know, going, like, thinking about something or exploring something rather than just, like, telling us a didactic story.
That's I agree with that completely. I do think that that is one of the things in this movie that allows, I don't know, it's something that I haven't seen Spielberg do before, which was be like, well, my thoughts on things are
Exactly. And, he doesn't do that because he's too smart for it. He's like, he's,
well, because he's always doing it about, it's like everything is I don't know, like the focus is on the film, like, how do I make this look as cool as possible?
How do I make a capital F film?
Yeah, exactly. But the ending of the movie, I thought was, I think, my favorite thing in the movie.
Yeah,
when it was over.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, when the monkey,
not having to watch it again.
When the monkey dies.
Yeah,
yeah, the monkey dies of suicide. No, the ending of the movie where he meets John Ford.
Yes. Played by David Lynch. Yeah, so good.
And I was like, oh, like for me, that ending was so brilliant and funny. And I was like, this is the most un-Spielberg ending
right.
I've ever seen.
I mean, because the whole movie is him putting filmmaking on a pedestal. Yes. And then he meets his hero, and his hero is like, yeah, fucking remember, you put the horizon line up or low, otherwise it looks boring. And yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
Now get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's also, I think people like Spielberg who wanted to be, like to do art from a young age and like always knew that, like they spend their whole lives sort of studying art, and that does kind of hamstring you from having a story, having to, from being able to tell your own story, because like your own story is inherently going to be like meta, where like a filmmaker learns how to like make a film or learns to, like, if you spend your, I mean, like I spent my college years and grad school years like learning how to write, right. Which then you're like, well, what the fuck am I going to write about, the process of me learning to write? Like, it's a weird,
right.
It's a weird yes. thing that you end up having to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And your life experience isn't, you look at your own life experience and you're like, I got to make a movie about me making movies.
Right. It's going to be annoyingly self-referential. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought he sort of did a decent job, even. I think that's probably why he is in his late 70s before he made this movie.
Is he in his late 70s?
He's like 75 or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's interesting. They really only make writer movies about journalists because journalists are actually doing stuff. But
yeah, they
really make like a movie about a writer because it's like, what the fuck are they going to show?
Right.
Him in front of a laptop thinking hard.
Well, it's funny because like you look at all like older movies, like old Hollywood movies, like half of them were about working in the movies.
Yeah.
Because it was like back then all the writers were like, well, I don't know what to write about. Write about making the movie we're making. Let's do that. And now it's like whenever you see a movie about like Hollywood or whatnot, it's like.
It's, on that note, you got to see Babylon.
Oh, I do?
Oh, yeah. It's like...
What's Babylon about?
Babylon is about... It's like the story that you've seen probably 100 times, where it's like a bunch of silent film stars partying, and then talkies come in, and like it fucks up everything. And I'm watching that movie going, I've seen this so many times. I've seen this like in Singing in the Rain. I've seen this in The Artist. I've seen this in Hail Caesar. I've seen this in like Boogie Nights is like another version of it. Like they've made it so many times, and he makes it again, and it's 3 hours and 10 minutes long, and it fucking rips the whole time.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Wait, who made this?
Damien Chazelle, the guy who did La La Land and Whiplash.
Yeah.
And it's really good the whole time.
Well, I mean, the fucking whole first scene is like a cocaine fueled orgy where people are like fucking in corners and some guys.
Yeah, I love that. And sucking. Are they sucking?
Yeah. There's a golden shower scene in the first 5 minutes.
They do. Oh, yeah. They do piss.
They do pee-pee. Yeah. And there's pee-pee.
Wow.
I feel like pee-pee is finally getting normalized, and I like that. And not saying, I want
right.
for me, but what I'm saying is like people, like if you watch like some older pornography, I feel like the women who are getting peed on, they don't like it. Mm. But nowadays, yeah. It's just like, I love getting peed on.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hated when people used to tell me that women didn't like getting peed on. I was just like, yeah, fucking right. They love it.
And then
they're
going to
act
like
they don't.
Yeah, because it's like, first, it's like cum, but there's more.
There is a whole like thing of like nobody ever. There's never a lot of shitting in movies, and there's not like couples peeing on each other in the shower, which I feel like everybody does, right?
Yeah, everyone does
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm. Just to fix.
If I'm in the shower with my wife, I'm gonna pee on her leg at some point.
Oh yeah, no, obviously. I thought you meant like.
Yeah, exactly. But that's never been in a movie. Nobody does that in a movie. And it's everybody does it.
They should have put it in the Fablemans. I think the Fablemans would have been improved.
Yeah.
Like at least 15 to 20% if there was a little bit of pee-pee in there.
Yeah. A little pee, just a trickle. I was going to say, too, it's funny watching a Spielberg movie with somebody like my wife who is younger than me and didn't like grow up watching Spielberg movies and like watches even just like a 90s movie and goes, this is so fucking corny because it's like the era of like Hollywood movies. And she was like 2000s, like fucking Eternal Sunshine, you know, when she started paying attention to movies, it was like Eternal Sunshine. So it was like already indie auteurs like making movies. And those were the ones people loved. So like we watched a Spielberg movie and she's like, this is so fucking corny. I can't.
Well,
and it's like, to me, I'm like, oh, it's a Spielberg. It's a movie.
Yeah,
movie.
That's what
and
we,
it's like,
that's why we,
she
that's
can't
why you
even
watch
wrap her mind movie. Around like, yeah, she can't even wrap her mind around, like, why would anybody watch this?
Wait, how old
and
is
to
she?
Me, I'm just like, wait, this is a movie.
Yeah.
14.
No,
she's 31.
Oh, wow.
No, but like
young.
Even like as a film critic, when I'm writing a review of a Spielberg movie, I almost like I'm not allowed to point out that it's corny because people are like, well, yeah, it's a fucking Spielberg movie. Of course it's fucking corny. Fucking what do you expect? Fuck.
She's confused by every movie. Like, it's like I'll show her like A Few Good Men or something, just whatever fucking, you know, like even like
what
Seven.
Did she say?
She goes,
is she like, why is this
fucking...
not High School Musical? Does she
she's
say
like,
that?
This is... She just says it's like corny, and I kind of get what she's saying because it's like she just is like it's such a movie,
yeah,
you know.
That,
and it's like
exactly...
I grew up watching movies, and she's like grew up watching these other things where it's like they were always like playing with the form or making it seem real gritty and realistic.
Has she seen Schindler's List?
I won't let her watch that. She doesn't need to see that. Just pretend that it never happened. That's the best, and then she won't.
I think she likes Schindler's List.
It would upset her. It would upset her.
Yeah,
no, I think she. Yeah, she probably would. She would like Schindler's List.
All right.
I think it does help to have someone who's like not into the like the show of movies, like to watch it with them. Because like I'm trying to watch. Last night I was trying to watch Till, like the movie about Emmett Till, and you know, my wife's just kind of like, why would I want to watch this? And I'm like, I kind of agree. It's such a weird thing. Like what, like, am I waiting to see the moment where they like show his like bloated corpse?
Yeah, what are
and
you
then
for
like,
here?
Is that going to be like the big reveal of this movie? And then I'm thinking like, oh, they did such a good job, like recreating that like murdered dude's fucked up
murdered
court, like, what are we doing here kind of thing.
Yeah,
like I'm like, yeah, this is a weird gesture, and I don't know why we'd want to like make a movie about that.
Well, it's like the weird thing about stuff like that is like there's like two parts of the spectrum, and both of them are can be conceived as wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you on the one hand you have like, well, you know, why not make a movie about this incredible historical figure, you know,
right,
like in terms of this horrible thing that happened, and learn about like humanize and learn about the life of this guy, this kid.
Who
Emmett
is
Till.
It
Emmett Till, he's the one who was murdered.
I'm kidding.
Oh. God.
But I think like the
no,
basic
but then on
the
other hand,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
On the other hand, you know, it's like, well, making it is also absolutely exploiting black trauma. And that has been kind of like a big thing of like people like, well, we got to make movies exploiting, you know, black trauma and making black fear and tears profitable.
It's a weird thing where, like, when something is an iconic historical moment like that, there's not a lot of room for art or like a take. Like, it's very, you right. can't have a take on it that's not sacrilegious and weird. Like, it's one thing if like that, like Emmett Till's mom made the movie or something, like then you'd get it because it's, you know, then they're allowed to find nuances that are
right.
real in it. But when you're an outsider and you're, I don't know, you're trying to find an artistic take on this story, like you can't really do that with that. So,
I mean, you know, it's like, is there what's the angle of the movie? Is yeah. it just like, here's the life of the kid and what his life was like before this horrible
Not
thing
really.
Happened?
It's sort of about aftermath? The horrible thing happening. And then like the, you know, the mom Ugh. Being strong and, you know,
yeah, it, you know, yeah, stuff like that. I'm always, you know, it's, I will see it if everyone says it's good. I will not turn it on if people, if I don't hear from people that it's good.
But here's the thing. Of course people are going to say it's good, because what the fuck are they going to say?
No. But like, I mean, critics that I trust
sure.
saying something is good. People who, not just like, the general, this is a, you know, the general critical populace is completely compromised. They're all liars. They're all working for Disney. And Vince Mancini is the only film critic you can trust.
Hey, did you guys watch Bros?
I did. Actually, I kind of.
I fucking.
I didn't like
I
it at first.
I fucking loved it.
I didn't like it at first, yeah, but then I ended up liking it.
I didn't think it. Yeah, I liked it. I just thought like, oh, okay, this is like a side of like, gay life that like I was completely fucking ignorant about, because it really is like all the gay movies that they've made, they kind of like just map on a gay relationship onto like a straight relationship
right.
And this was like the first movie I saw, they go, no, it's this whole fucking different thing that's kind of dynamic.
He's like, no, love
like
is
going
love
on.
Is not love, shut the fuck up.
I thought, I go, that's really kind of cool and interesting, and there was like funny shit in it. But
I saw that movie right before I saw My Policeman, the one where Harry Styles plays like a tragic gay guy, and I was like, oh my god, this is the like exact movie that Billy Eichner is shitting on in Bros.
Yeah, I didn't
Harry
see
Styles
that.
I think he's my new favorite dumbass.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a proper film.
It's a proper movie, yeah?
You go
well, you
to
know
the movie.
You go show a movie, right? And you go, oh, we're in a theater, isn't it? And then when you go watch a movie, you say like, why am I getting my dick sucked right now? Oh, it's because I'm watching a movie, yeah.
Slobber on it.
Slobber on the knob. Yum, yum, yum.
Favorite thing about the movie is like, it feels like a movie. It feels like a real, like, you know, go to the theater film movie that...
Wait, is that a satire?
Kind of the reason why you go to watch something on the big screen. You
know, no, that's him.
No, that's him. That was 100% him.
And Chris Pine is just sitting there like,
what?
Oh my God, I want to die right now.
It's a movie and like your eyes are big and you're watching. Yeah, that's fucking...
You know, sit around, right? And sometimes you're watching a movie and you go, hey, this ain't a movie. This is a trailer for popcorn, yeah?
I mean,
and
my favorite...
go see a real movie.
My favorite thing about actors is like when you can tell that it's been 10 years since everyone in the world wasn't just hanging on their every word.
Yes.
And they can just voice any fucking stupid mundane thought that comes through their head, and they have no fear about like hogging the spotlight or boring people
or sticking the landing.
Okay. But that's why you said you hated Wall Street, and that's exactly why I fucking love Wall Street. Is the
whoa,
most
whoa, what's Wall
like,
Street?
It's the Mark Wahlberg running his business.
W-A-H-L Street?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the most complete document of how a fucking celebrity slowly becomes a fucking crazy person, because it's just Mark Wahlberg saying the dumbest shit. He's literally pretending to run businesses. He doesn't run a fucking thing.
And everybody's just creating this fake drama around. It's just, you're just watching all the people around him create this fake world for him and like have to stay in it and like stay focused. And they can't just go, dude, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You're an idiot. And everybody in every scene wants to say that to him. That's why it's good.
Yeah. I want to see
for it.
I want to see like a Tim and I want Tim and Eric to get a hold of the footage for Wall Street and then just like sort of recut it. Like however they want, because it's you can tell the editor and the director are working for Mark Wahlberg in Wall Street, and so it's very geared to towards making him look smart and like a businessman, and like he's doing a lot of hustling and shit.
Dude, there's one part where he's like having a business meeting, and he's like thinking real hard, and he goes, "Let's take a break. Let's meet in about 5 minutes. I'll meet you out on the loggia."
The fuck is Loggia? Robert Loggia?
And I had to fucking, I don't know why, the fucking killed me, dude.
What's a loggia? I gotta
I'll
know.
I'll meet you out on the loggia. But he says in his fucking, I can't do the Boston fucking weird accent yet. Loggia.
I
don't
know.
It's like a big Italian fucking balcony, I think.
I mean, the like balcony section in the big theater is called like loge.
I didn't
probably
know that.
Didn't know how to pronounce it.
I thought it was like he mixed veranda and loge. That rules. But there's Mark Wahlberg becoming like the, I don't know, like a success when Tradcath is. I like it because he's becoming more and more a like. The most honest version of himself as he's getting older.
Yeah.
Like this is like who he is like everything he's doing is not who he is on the inside, but it's who he like aspires
yeah,
to be.
Yeah. It's
the
like
inside.
He's slowly reverting back to a mass hole, but he has to filter it through being like an annoying Hollywood guy for the last 25 years.
Yeah. He's got to be a chill mass hole.
He's like the guy that he like comes in to every room and he's like giving noogies and like pushing people around and everybody's like, dude, fucking, they just want to go fucking stop, dude.
No,
and,
he's doing,
but they can't do it. They have to go, Mark. Okay,
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah. Noogies for Christ.
It's
he's
so
doing
great.
Noogies for Christ. Way, and he's like, now I only blind Jews, no, that's not right.
Like, dude, he's doing some movie called it's called like Father, I don't know,
Father Stew. We saw
Father Stew. Yes,
we watched
and
it.
You're
was
watching
insane,
and he's
dude.
He's making this movie, and you go, "This looks like the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen." And then it's this girl, and she's talking about she wrote the movie, and she's getting to direct it, and you go, and she's like real hot chick, and you go, how the fuck did this girl write a movie and they made her make a movie? Like, she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. This just sounds like this, and this is clearly the stupidest movie. And then it's like, I had to Google it, and Mel Gibson's in it. She's Mel Gibson's girlfriend.
Yeah, she's Mel Gibson's girlfriend that he met on like the competitive horse circuit. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah, man, this girl here, she rides a horse. And I said, what are your thoughts about the Jews? And have you ever thought about the Jewish question? And she said, yeah, I am not a fan of the Jews. And I said, neither am I. Would you like to do a movie? Yeah. And it's very hard to, I can't keep the accent straight. Mel Gibson doesn't have an Australian accent anymore, right?
No, not really.
He retconned his voice.
He did, yeah.
First, that's the most psycho shit you could do. You grow up speaking one way and you're like, nah, I'm gonna change that completely. Is psycho to be like, I'm an American now, so I'm gonna speak with an American accent. I get that you're a good actor, but that's fucking weird. That's like me moving to England and being like, oh, whatever, she's on my video. Yeah. Oh, just like everywhere I go. So, you know.
I did just rewatch Apocalypto and that movie shreds so hard.
Yeah.
Like he was really getting into a pocket where he was just able to make what, after he made a movie about Jesus just getting the shit kicked out of him for 2 hours, they were like, all right, you can do whatever. And then he made that movie. That movie rules.
I need to see that. I've actually never seen Apocalypto.
I still haven't either. We got to watch it.
dude. So after he, you know, he said some unkind things. the rights to Apocalypto like were just basically up for grabs, and nobody wanted it, and so you couldn't find it anywhere. And then now it's on Amazon. It just popped up on Amazon Prime, and it's a fucking dude. It's a banger movie. It's a really good one.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But I think that's
been a podcast. He's so off the rails.
Hasn't that been a podcast? Yeah, just with that. I got a
with a Mel Gibson promo.
I'm gonna watch Mel Gibson's Apocalypto because you know what? I've decided I can only cancel so many anti-Semites, so I've stopped listening to Kanye's music, but that means I have to re-add another anti-Semite, so Mel Gibson is back in rotation.
And it was before he was you could just think this was pre-anti-Semite.
Was it?
He hadn't come out as an anti-Semite quite yet.
Oh, that's right.
He was coming off of Passion of the Christ, and then people was like...
I forget. For some reason, I have those linked in my head. It was Passion of the Christ, and then immediately after, he was just like, the Jews! But no, it was like Passion of the Christ, in which he wasn't saying anything about the Jews, but wasn't he? And then after Apocalypto, he went to fucking Shadows
And after he self-financed Passion of the Christ and made $1 billion on this movie that seemed like the worst idea ever, people were like, oh, you could just do whatever you want. And so he made this fucking crazy movie where people are speaking a dead Mayan language or something. And it's
kind of rules.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's bizarre.
Anyways.
It's hot stuff.
Check out Mel Gibson wherever you get your podcasts.
Father Stew.
Joseph,
hey, by the way,
you
gotta take a shit, but did you guys see that Woody Harrelson there's a trailer for a Woody Harrelson movie that came out where the premise is that he is a basketball coach that gets in trouble with the law and then is forced to coach a team of basketball players that all have Down syndrome.
Just I haven't seen there. That, but I will watch that movie.
I don't think Hitler was a good guy. I get the Hugo Boss uniforms, amazing. But I mean, just because you're in love with design, you're a designer. Can we just kind of say like you like the uniforms? But that's about it.
Hair. There's a lot of things that I love about Hitler. A lot of things.
All right. I gotta take a shit okay. So bad.
All right, let's close it out.
Joseph Glitico, thank you so much for coming on the show. Follow him on all of the platforms at Joseph Glitico. Patreon.com/Frogcast for all these episodes you're listening to. Frogcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, concerns. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, good night and good chins.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.